Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. I am Kip Stube in Maryland, and this is Live Talk.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, also in Maryland.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the COVID-19 pandemic and the opening of schools in Zimbabwe.
Yesterday, the Minister of Health announced that there were 13 new cases, all local, and 2 deaths reported in the last 24 hours.
And according to the Minister of Health, over 36,000 people have so far tested positive for COVID-19. And out of this number, 34,043 have actually recovered. And we've got roughly about 1,500 people who have succumbed to COVID-19. And according to the same ministry, there are 36,359 people who have been vaccinated in Zimbabwe. And worldwide, according to Johns Hopkins University, over 120 million people have contracted COVID-19 and 2.7 million have died. USA appears to have the largest number of people that have succumbed to the disease, with roughly about 534,000 people, according to Johns Hopkins University. So, okay, Zulukanda Balamtanje, Skuruma, COVID-19, Skuruma, Njalo, Lohufula, Weskoro, Kwele Zimbabwe. Siyabona ukuthi kula bantu ababili izolo ababhubhe ngenxa ye-COVID-19, kodwa bangu-13 babanjwe pelo mkhuhlane lo. Nxa sikhangela ke okwethulwe luhlangothi lwezempilakahle, luyakhomba ukuthi ke kula bantu 36,484 asebahlolwa kusukela ngombimbitho nyakenye batholakala belo-COVID-19, kuthi ke kunani leli. So kula bantu abayi-34,043 asebaphepha ku-COVID-19. So kwabhubha abantu abayi-1,503 kwele Zimbabwe. Uhlangothi lolu luyabika njalo ukuthi sokulabantu 36,359 asebehlatshwe ijekiseni ye-Sinopharm. Siyakwazi ukuthi-ke ijekiseni ze-Sinopharm zatholakala kwele China, lapho-ke ilizwe le-China elanika ele Zimbabwe lisithi abantu kabajovwe kwenza ukuthi bangabi le-COVID-19. Kuzobuya-ke i-Johns Hopkins University siyabona ukuthi ithi kulabantu 120 million asebanjwe ligciwane le-COVID-19. Besukusithi abedlula 2.7 million sebabhubha. Siyabika njalo isibhedlela lesi sithi kule Melika kulabantu 29.4 million asebabanjwa i-COVID-19, kuthi ke abayi 534,889 sebabhubha. Kunjalo ke Jonga.
Ongwadi wateereri, nasi tukutarisa nyaya mbiri pachirongwa chedu che-Live Talk chatinoita hurukuro tichitarisa nyaya dziri kuitika munyika. Zita ndini Jonga Kandemiri. Chirongwa chatinacho nasi munyaya dzedu inau dzatinadzo yekutanga inau ye-COVID-19. Iyo tikanzwa kuti nezuro vanhu vanokwana kuita 13 kana kuti 13 vakawanikwa vaine chirwere ichi, kuchiti vaviri vakafa nechirwere ichochi che-COVID-19. Zvichiwo zvakare kuti kusvika pari nhasi vanhu vanokwana kuita 36,484 kana kuti zviuru 36 nemazanamana nemakumi masere nevana vanhu ivavo vawanikwa vaine chirwere ichi kubva pachatanga gore rapera. Kusanganisirawo vanhu vanokwana kuita 34,043 kana kuti zviuru 34 zvine 43 nevatatu vapona kubva kuchirwere ichochi, asi nyika yarasikirwa nevanhu vanokwana kuita 1,503 kana kuti chiuru nemazana 5 nevanhu vatatu vafa nechirwere ichochi. Panyaya yekubayiwa kwenhomba kusvika nezuro, vashandi vari pamberi mukurwisana ne-COVID-19 kana kuti vatingati mafrontline workers vanokwana kuita 36,359 kana kuti zviuru 36 nemazana 3 ane 50 nevapfumbamwe vakanga vabayiwa nhomba iyoyi ye-Sinopharm yakabva kuChina. Imwe nyaya tiri kutarisa inyaya yekuvhurwa kwezvikoro zvavhurwa nhasi. Tirangarire kuti makotoro kana kuti temu dzezvikoro dzakatikanganisikei nekuda kwechirwere che-COVID-19. Saka hurumende yakazozivisa kuti zvikoro zvichavhurwa. Temu ino yekutanga kana kuti kotoro yekutanga inenge iri muzvikamu zviviri. Chikamu chekutanga ndokuvhurwa kwaitwa zvikoro nhasi musi wa15 March. Maklasi anoita vanoitangira form 4, form 6 ne-grade 7 ndo vatanga chikoro nhasi. Kotarisirwa kuti mamwe mafomu ose nemagredhi vasarawo vari kutarisirwa kuvhura svondo rinoya musi wemuvhuro musi wa22 March. Ndo mamiriro akaita temu yekutanga. Temu yechipiri inenge ichizotanga musi wa28 June ichipera musi wa September 10. Third temu ichitanga musi wa October 4 ichipera musi December 15 iyo temu yekutanga ndasina kutaura kuti inenge ichizo varwa rini kana kupera rini inotarisirwa kupera musi wa March 15 asi tiri kunzwa kuti varairidzi pano nepapo havana kuenda kumabasa vakawanda asi zvikoro zvakatowandeiwo zvavhurwa varairidzi tiri kunzwa zvichemo zvavo vari kuti vari kukundikana kuenda kumabasa nenyaya dzekushaya mari ndodzimwe nyaya dzatichakurukura gedzo
iye kunjalo sivili kuchonguya kupeka sivili March 15 namhlanje siyabona kuti form 6 form 4 lokuredi 7 bavulile izikolo kwele Zimbabwe siyabona kuti njalo mhlaka 22 March kulabanye ababuyela ezikolo kulandela ukuvalwa sivili kwesikhathi eside kwezikolo ngenxa yobhubhane lwe-COVID 19 siyabona ukuthi ke item le eqalileyo izaphela ngoJuni so ke kuzobuya ke i-second term siyabona ukuthi layo iyokuqala ke ngoJuni 28 isaphela ngoSeptemba 10 xa sokubuya ke item yesithathu iyaqala ngo-October 4 isaphela ngoDisemba 17 kodwa bababalisi phela siyabezwa sibe hlawumbe umkhosi bathi ke ukubuyela ezikolo kuzima abanye abangikhona abanye sizokuthi ababuyele sibili kodwa ke ongani kusinda abazali ukuthi kambe ezikolo khonapha kuhamba njani bavikelwa yini ababalisi njalo bavikelwa yini abantwana bezikolo so ke we are happy that our guests are already lined up jonga we've got Miss Melissa Chungwanawana of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Association of Zimbabwe. We also have Mr. Roderick Fayayo, who is the board member of the Progressive Residents Association. And shortly we are going to be joined by other guests. So let's start with Melissa Chikwanangwana. Welcome to the program, madam.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much. So give us your brief on why you guys have decided not to go back to work. What is going on? Because schools are open. They're open today. What is your problem?
I think our problem is now common knowledge. We are demanding our $520. We have been trying to get the government to hear our cry for so long, and we cannot go to work until we get a salary that is enough for us to live on. So to go back to work right now, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to go to work because the expenses that we have and the money that we're getting, there's no balance between the two.
So you, do you think that is only a question of you having money, or you're also worried about the standard of education these days? Because kids, most of these kids were not even accessing education, you know, lessons and all those kind of things. So where do you stand here? Going to back to school or the education of kids?
As a union, we have a program, we have a campaign that we're running, which is called Save Our Education, whereby we're advocating for the government that have to do with the education of our children and also our careers as teachers. As teachers, we're parents too. We're worried about what has been happening. So many kids have missed out on school for the past few months, ever since the lockdown started last year in March. So we're not only concerned about the money that we're getting, but we're also concerned about the standard of education in Zimbabwe. Last year, our kids wrote exams, the grade sevens, form fours and upper sixes wrote exams without learning anything. And now they're expected to go to the next level, but we're shortchanging them. So we're also worried about that. It's not all about money. It's also about the standard of education in Zimbabwe.
So, okay, now I'm going to say to you, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to
tell you, imali esiyiholayo incane kakhulu ayenelisi ukuthi sibuyele emsebenzini asilamali yokuthi sibhadalele abantwana i-school fees sithenge ukudla sithenge nje lezigqoko ezokuthi sihambe sigqokile emsebenzini imali incane kakhulu okunye sikukhalayo ukuthi siphonge ukuthi sihambe emsebenzini nje kuphela kungela malungiselelo ayenziweyo ababalisi abathestwanga abantwana abathestwanga siphonge ukuhamba nje kuphela kunjalo
so now did you ever discuss some of these issues with government before you decided not to go back to classes?
We have been asking for dialogue with the government for a while now, but our cries have been ignored. So the only way we can actually speak to our employer is to withdraw our services. We have tried to engage them, but so far we have been ignored.
Jonga.
Yes, welcome to our show, Ms. Chingwanangwana. You are saying that you are going to withdraw, or you have withdrawn your labor because of the concerns you have raised. But we understand that the Zimbabwe Confederation of Public Sector Trade Unions is engaging the government with regards to the National Joint Negotiating Council. Why can't you wait for the outcome of that meeting, the finalization of that NJNC meeting, before you take action?
The issue is we wanted this meeting to happen before schools actually opened, because we cannot go to work and wait for the outcome of the meeting. We don't have money to go to work. The government knew that schools were going to open at some point, and there was more than enough time for preparations to be made. So I think it's unfair for us to be expected to go to work and wait for the outcome for a meeting that has not even happened at all. What are we going to use to travel to work? What are we going to eat? Some of us are rural teachers. We need to travel. We need money to travel. We need money for food. We need money to buy clothes. We don't have anything. Right now, teachers are, if we go to work, we'll be dressed in rags. So we need money for all that before we can even go back to work.
Yes. So can you hold on there before you go? Because you asked us to release you after a few minutes, but just hold on there until you get another person to replace you. So now I think we're joined by Mr. Joseph Chuma as well. He's a ZANU-PF member. He's in the ZANU-PF Central Committee. And he was a member of parliament for Pelindaba and Popoma. So hold on there, Mr. Chuma. Let's go to Mr. Roderick Fayayo. Mr. Fayayo, I think as a parent, we are seeing what is going on, and we are representing, Bulawayo residents. So what is going on at schools right now, Mr. Fayayo?
Thank you very much, kids. Thank you, Chunga. And it's good to be back after quite a very long time.
Thank you.
My thinking, kids, is that what we are dealing with is a symptom of a bigger problem. What we are dealing with now is a miniature of this Zimbabwean society. So for me, the bigger problem is one, a government that is supposed to plan, but it fails to plan. That is why, as it is right now, our kids are all going to school. And there are very few or not even any teachers that are there to take care of them. The teacher's representative is saying, teachers were not tested. Students were not tested. And all of them, they are alone there. So what we are actually doing is that we are reducing schools to super spreaders. But not only that, there is no strategy, country, we are going to deal with this COVID-19 issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we it's just an instruction that people should go back to school, teachers should go back to school, and no consultation has been done. So no one knows. So we are just sending our kids to death zones. But more importantly, what you have is a government that wants to make anomalies normal, that want us to believe that anomalies are the new normal. Because you cannot have a situation where the government says all the exam writing classes should go back to school, as if last year they learned. You and I know very well that the whole of last year, all these kids did not go to school. And in terms of the plan of how these guys are going to catch up, there is nothing. You just have an instruction that says they should go back to school. And for me, that is where our problem, starts. If a government cannot consult its stakeholders, then it becomes a problem. If a government thinks that it can detect and issue instructions on everything, that is where we have a problem. And at the end of the day, if you look at the schools around, not only in Bulawayo, you will see that most kids went to school. But very few teachers did not go to school. And what is happening there? Our kids are exposed. But if you then look at private schools, kids went to school and there are teachers there. And there are clear mechanisms to make sure that kids are protected, which are not there in the public schools. And we get worried and say, the public schools are the responsibility of the government. And what is it that the government has done? It has done nothing. So it's what is being done to the teachers is the same thing that was done to the nurses, the same thing that was done to the doctors, and the same thing that is being done to any ordinary worker in Zimbabwe.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Fayayo. I think we've got Mr. Chuma. Chonga, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chuma, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Good evening to everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chuma.
You
heard from our two other guests, Ms. Chingwanangwana and Mr. Fayayo. The issue they are all raising is that the government is not taking the issue of education seriously by remunerating teachers and making sure that there is there are mechanisms in place for schools to open after such a long layoff. What's your take on that?
Thank you very much, Jonga and Gibbs. Look, the whole bottom line will always come to engagement and being of sober mind while we do these things. It is very important for government definitely to engage all stakeholders when it comes to such issues, because we need the teachers' input. They must be well remunerated. We also need the PPEs to be made available so that our children are safe as they go back to school. So there's a lot of engagement that really needs to be done, and it should be done in earnest, and people must really be in positions to be able to talk about such things. But then again, I'll come back to the other arms of government, which is parliament in this case. Whenever their budget is being done and being drawn, their votes for these particular ministries. And now this is the time where we must have legislators that are clear-minded and know what they are pushing for when they push for these kind of things. The Minister of Education must be well-funded, indeed, as much as the Minister of Health must be also well-funded, so that we have all these things catered for. We have teachers properly remunerated. We have issues of PPEs being properly attended to. And so there must be that push again from the legislature's point of view. And also now, there must be that push again from all these associations that we talk of, the teachers' unions, the residents themselves. Everybody must get involved, and we start talking, and we talk earnestly. And like I had said earlier on, without politicizing anything, when I'm talking about politicizing anything, I'm really referring to partisan politics, not the daily politics. There's politics of the stomach, there's politics of realism to say, how can a teacher go and teach when they cannot even afford to buy themselves clothes? They can't afford to feed their families. They can't even afford to pay school fees for their own children to go to these same schools that they're teaching at, or any other school where they would want to send their kids to. So these things all then boil down to say, are we talking? Are we engaging each other? Because right now, what we need to understand is that government has no monopoly to ideas. It cannot proffer all the solutions that we probably want. So we need, as people, as Zimbabweans, to sit down and say, let us talk about this, about these issues without getting political about them. But when there are problems that are being committed, they must be fingered out, and the solution must be proffered. So we need a union that are going to come up with solutions. We need an association that are going to come up with solutions, and then we talk. From that point of view, we can get some.
Yes, sorry, Gibbs. I just wanted to throw a question to Honorable Chuma. Mr. Chuma, there are some who are saying that the government is not serious when it comes to the issue of education in terms of prioritizing teachers' remuneration and salaries, and also making sure that schools have adequate supplies. Because the teachers, they raise the, not only teachers, civil servants, the Zimbabwe Confederation of Public Sector Trade Unions, when they met with the government on Friday, they also raised the issue of salary discrepancies, where they say that some civil servants are earning almost close to 70,000, while teachers are earning between 14,000 to 19,000. Well, even if these unions engage with the government, but if the government is not taking those teachers at the same level with other civil servants, do you think there's anything that the teachers can contribute to the issue of education if the government is not considering them at the same level with other civil servants?
Jonga, these are issues that are very pertinent indeed. There is no way we must demean our teachers to a level where they are not able to survive using their salaries that they are getting at the moment. It is taboo. The profession of teachers has always been a revered profession from time immemorial. When we grew up, everybody wanted to be a teacher because it was a respectable profession and they were well catered for in terms of their salaries as well. And we need to move back into that. So I don't think really to say government is not serious and stuff like that would be the answer to our issues. But the issue here is that how are we engaging in the are we engaging in a productive manner which will bring almost all these things to closure? And that's why I say that it's not only about looking at teachers per se and their unions. It's also looking at the legislative part, which is the overseer of government itself. What are they doing? How are they pushing it? Because at times, you see, we have a situation whereby you have parliamentarians who go to parliament and not even know why they are there. This is their job. They are supposed to be pushing the votes for education. There is a committee for education, which I once belonged to when I was in parliament. And we kept on trying to push for such things. And I don't know, and I hope that these people are still doing that because it is their duty. It is their duty to force even the Minister of Finance to say, no, we are not happy with this budget. So therefore, if education is not being given a proper budget, we are not going to pass that particular budget. And that way, they can start getting somewhere because now we'll be talking about all these things, remuneration and stuff like that. Yet, even when you look at the national budget for the education ministry, it is inadequate. I mean, for starters. So what are we talking about? So it's a chain reaction of a lot of things that need to really be set down on and thought over. That is why I've always said that it is very prudent and very wise to say when we elect people and when we send people to represent us, they must know their role. What are they going there for? And are they carrying out that mandate? Instead of just saying, it's okay, as long as they belong to party X or party Z.
Thank you. Yes.
We actually start losing things. So it's a chain reaction of a lot of things that need to be addressed from the legislators' point of view, from the lobbers themselves, like the teachers' unions, from the parents themselves as well, and to all sit down and find a solution.
Thank you very much. I think now we hold on there, Mr. Chuma. Let's cross over to Ms. Chingwanawana because she wants to leave. Chingwanawana, ngesindebele, akutsho ukuthi okhulunywa nguChuma ukuthi kumele kube le-engagement phakathi kwayenu abazali lohulumende. Kuyini okwenza ukuthi lingakwenzi izikolo zize zivulwe, zingakavulwa?
Mina ngiyavumelana lobaba uChuma. Ngithi thina njengenhlanganiso ye-ATU kodwa sivele sikukhalela ukuthi izikolo zingavulwa kungahlalwa ngaphansi. Uhulumende ukwazi kusukela ngomnyaka odlulileyo ukuthi kuzafika isikhathi lapho izikolo kumele zivule khona. So thina besikhalela ukuthi hhayi sicela lathi sibe phakathi kwabantu laba abazahlala phansi bekhulume nge-education yeZimbabwe. Kodwa asazi ukuthi sokuphuma ama-dates okuthi izikolo ziyavulwa nini, kwasekuhlangane bani, bebasebehlale phansi lobani lobani. So ubaba uChuma uqinisile sibili ukuthi i-problem le silayo ifuna ukuhlale phansi wonke umuntu olano okokwenza nge-education kumbe ngempila kahle nje yabantu beZimbabwe afake layo umbono wakhe, sincedisane ngoba i-education yeZimbabwe kathi singathi kule crisis enkulu ukuthi singekele ukuhlala phansi sibili sizakhala kakhulu phambili.
So kumele kuhlalwe nini kukhulunywa ngakhonokho?
Kunje isikolo sesivuliwe. Ngibona ngani nxa kungenzeka nje emalangeni khonapha ngoba nxa isikolo sesivuliwe kunje sokumele sibone sidinga isolution ngoba abantwana sebevele besesikolo, ababalisi labo sebekhangele ukuthi behambe bebuyele. So uhulumende nxa engakwenza masinya nje emalangeni khonapho kumbe singathi ngibe ngeviki ezayo ekulungisa.
Hayi, siyabonga kakhulu-ke, sungazihambela mama, sibonge kakhulu ungathelela kusasa uqhuma ucingo lwakho khona ngapho, siyabonga kakhulu.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think she's now gone, Jonga. So let's go to Mr. Obed Masarauri.
Yes, Masarauri, tinogamuchira muchirongwa chedu.
Ndinotenda mukoma Jongani kuti tiana kuchirongwa.
Tichitendawo zvakare imi kuwana nguva yekupinda muchirongwa chedu. Vadiwa vateereri vaObert Masaraure ndivo mutungamiri wesangano revarairidzi vekumaruware Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe kana kuti ATUZ. Vamasaraure, vateereri vangada kutanga nekunzwa kuti nhengo dzenyu dzaapanisa irongedzichidzokera kumabasa nhasi, tichiona kuti koto rekutanga eyatanga nhasi zvikoro zvavhurwa nhasi.
Varairidza vasikwanisa kudzokera kumabasa zvatagara tichitaura kuti hurumende yaita semurimi unotakura majoki woenda kumunda asisiya mombe dzacho dzinorima. Vakangodomewa mazita asi mombe dzinorima dzinoreva dzidzita. Havana chavakakwanisa kupiwa chingakwanisa kuti vawane mari dzemuchovha, chingakwanisa kuti vawanewo mari dzokuendesa vana vavo kuchikoro kwacho kwavari kudzidzisa. Kungobhadharawo school fees, fees yemwana wako, kumutengerawo shangu sezvo dzekudhara dzisakwane. Varairidza vasikukwanisa. Saka varairidza izvezvi havana kukwanisa kuenda kubasa, vari mubishi rekuramba vachirwisana nekuti dai hurumende yadzorera ziso ravo paeducation zvayaisimboita kare, isati ramwe ipe varairidzi mari inoitawo kuti vakwanise kurarama sevanhu vapike kukazumai nechiremerera. Taita savhe makuseni tisingangotarisi mamembers edu chete, tichitarisa nyika yese pane vanga vachitarisirwa kuitwa vanga vari muzvikoro, taona 21% chete ndo yaita show up tichiti pachikoro chaita siko vanhu 28 vange varipo emaexam class papachange kana paine 6 zvakadaro ndomaavarage atati tikuwana. Saka varairidza vasati vakwanisa kudzokera kuzvikoro kutaura pachi.
Ndisati ndakupai kuna Gibbs wamasaraure, mungatsanangura here kuti imi kusvika pakutora matanha iwaya manga mamboedzawo here kugara pasi nehurumende? Nokuti nyaya yatarishaura pamapinda apa yanga iri engagement, manga mambogarawo here pasi nehurumende muchinzwikwa zvichemo zvenyu musati matora matanha ekusara enda kumabasa?
Hongu vanhu katara nyaya yenhaurirano, vanhu vanokangamwa kuti mitemo yenhaurirano iri pakati pemacivil servants nehurumende haisati yatogadzirwa ndopekutangira. Mukatarisa constitution yezimbabwe inotaura zvakanaka isi pose kuti mushandi woga woga ane kodzero yekuita yavanoti collective bargaining naemployer wake. Zvinoreva kuti macivil servants anenge aine kodzero yekuti akataurawo kuti nokuda chakati woenda patafura wouitaurirana. Kana tikadyiwa panhaurirano nehurumende tinongotobuda necollective bargaining agreement yodosainiwa. Chero wakatsutsumwa, chero wakatsamwa, chero uchifara, unotodzokera kubasa uchiziva kuti ndozvabuda munhaurirano. Dambudziko raita tiri kushandisa zvimitemo zvisiri constitutional, zvimitemo zvakaita sestandard instrument 141/1997 zvinoita kuti hurumende irambe ine simba rekufikisa masalari isina kuita process yecollective bargaining. Nekuti collective bargaining yakasiyana neconsultation. Hurumende ine simba yekungoti yaconsulta yotofikisa salari zvisingatendegwi neconstitution yedu yezimbabwe. Ndopabvira gakava redu hombe nehurumende. Saka pavanogara pasi, vanogara pasi nevanhu vanoda kumwana wetii vachinyebedzera kunge vari kutaura nhunha dzevashandi asi vachiita vachitoa hwavo neushamwari hwavo vachida kupindana mumabhodhi akasiyana siyana. Asi zvinoita kuti vashandi vawedzere kuzwa nzara nekunzwa hasha kuti employer wedu ari kutirasha. Mpleya wedu tinoramba tichimukumbira kuti atiengage, tinyora magwaro akawandisa iwo musi unovhikira kufunga takamira rimwe zvakatirepei tichitsanangudza zvakakoshera titaurirane. Asi chakakosha tichitarisa zviri long term ndezvekuti mitemo inogavhena labour yemacivil servants dai alainwe muconstitution yezimbabwe. Mukatotarisa vashandi vari kunana visa vanogona kutambira mari shoma asi inenge yawiriranwa pacollective bargaining, iri collective bargaining agreement. Isi vedu mari inongodomwa yongotonzi yamunyuzipepa yamuherald. Isusu vacho vari kutambura vari kuchema. Hatida kumbosvikawo pekuti hurumende yagara nesu tichitutana kusvika tabuda nemuono mumwe chete. Saka nhaurirano dzitogadzirwa kumutemo. Mitemo isati yagadzirwa hurumende ngaitomborasha chitemo chenhema chainoshanda. Timboshandisa nhaurirano dzekunzwisisa kuti tese takakosherwa needucation yevana vedu. Timowanise musoro pamwe chete tange kuti dzidzo yevana idzokere
pavana. But is there any engagement between your organization and the government, and why didn't this happen before schools opened?
Thanks for that great question. We have always been asking the government of Zimbabwe to come down and engage us. But the challenge is the crisis is also structural. The government is maintaining pieces of law which are ultra-vires to the provisions of Section 65 of the Constitution of the Republic of Zimbabwe. The Constitution provides for collective bargaining for workers. Teachers like other workers deserve a decent salary which is encapsulated in the Constitution. And they also have a right to engage in collective bargaining and also a right to engage in collective job action. Now, we are still using labor laws which prohibits, one, collective job action, through collective bargaining. So what happens is at the end of the day, government is taking advantage of that loophole, and they are not they are not interested in a negotiation. We have wrote to this particular government more than 10 times before they declared this date of opening. We were begging them to come to the negotiating table to discuss the best way forward for our education. And we have been citing very few issues. One, to begin with, we have been raising the issue of the salary prices. Of course, the salaries were wrong. And we have been begging government, let's come to the table and agree on something. But teachers simply want their salaries to be restored to their pre-2018 value of 520 as a minimum, which is not too much to ask because it's even below. I think it's even below the poverty line. It's not enough, but we are patriotic enough and we are ready to accept it and save our nation. Secondly, we were speaking out on the issues of COVID-19, etc., and saying, let's, we now that we have started operating procedures, which were set by government itself in June 2020, let's not operationalize them in schools. How do we operationalize them? Let's fund the operation of standard operating procedures. And as I'm speaking to you right now, from the survey we did in the morning, around the compliance to those SOPs is only around 25%. If we get a third wave of COVID-19, we're going to lose lives. We were also speaking genuinely to the issue of the impact of the lockdown on the capacity of the parents to pay school fees. The majority of our parents cannot even pay the fees because they're coming from a hard lockdown. What is government doing to cushion those parents who are coming out of a hard lockdown to ensure that we don't lose some of the learners in the classroom? We want everyone to be participating. It's not enough just to declare that no children, no learners going to be chased away from school. We still need to buy teaching and learning materials in this school. So it is more important for government to fund, to expand the basic education access model and bring more marginalized learners into the
family. Thank you so much. Let's go to Mr. Roderick Fayo. Mr. Fayo, I think you heard Mr. Chuma saying that sometimes there's too much politics in all this, you know, and at the end of the day, you also heard Mr. Opet Masaraura saying, you know, the problem is government is not doing much, you know, so as parents, as, you know, as people that are representing residents of Bulawayo, I guess you are caught in between here. So what's the best solution going forward here?
Thank you very much, Gibbs. Our thinking is very clear. Our thinking is that we have a government that is supposed to govern without any excuses. And that is what should simply happen. Secondly, our thinking is that if there is going to be any engagement, it is the government that should initiate that engagement. It cannot be that a teachers union and other stakeholders in the education sector are busy asking for engagement and the government is busy running away. And the only thing that it then does is then to dictate the dates of the opening of schools without taking into consideration a number of these issues that largely affect the education sector.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and many a times when these political issues are raised, they are raised to silence people. And my thinking is that it is the government that has the responsibility to stop all those rumors. Because if the government does its work properly, there is not going to be any political talk. We will not be talking about these things if the government was doing their things political. And therefore, our thinking is that when they say that, hey, we don't want these things to be political, it is just an attempt to hide behind a finger. Deal with the issues. Simple. That is what people are asking for. Deal with the education issues. And there are a number of them. And it is not about just saying open schools and go to school. It is much more than that. If you only confine the duty of the government, which just saying, let's open schools and go to schools, you are creating serious problems. That is why at the end of the day, when exams are written and when we get results, we get some schools that get 0%. It is because of this failure to plan and the failure to come up with a simple and a workable education strategy. That is all what we are simply asking for from the government. And we don't want to be given names because we have failed. There are things that are paid in the education sector. We don't want to be given names because we've said teachers have to be paid. I think it is not fair. The duty of the government is to govern. And the government should just govern. Simple. And that is all what we're asking for.
Mm-hmm. So, Baba Fayo, ngesintu ngicela ukubeka ngamafutshane konoko okhuluma ngakho
ba engutshoyo baba Thube ikuthi isikhathi esiningi kakhulu nxa kukhulunywa kuthiwa lingahlanganisa into zepolitiki lingayenzini siyabe sizama ukuvalwa kebe kuzama ukuvalwa abantu abazama ukukhuluma ukuthi hayi bakithi abantwana kungeke kuthiwa izikolo zithi izikolo zivuliwe abantwana kungela matitsha kawungeke kuthiwa namhla izikolo zivuliwe abantwana singakwazi ukuthi bayafika bethestwe ngubani bayathestwa njani baba safe njani ezikolo and then ungakhuluma konoko sokuthiwa yi-politics. I think we should not akufuzanga ukuthi sivale abantu abakhulumayo ngendaba zonezo. Uhulumende ulamandla kufanele ebe nguye olidayo kuma-engagement labantu. Uhulumende kahlale phansi lamateacher. Uhulumende kahlale phansi lezakhamizi. Uhulumende kahlale phansi lama-stakeholders wonke. Our education, understand ukuthi liluphi uhlupho olu-affectayo. Singavele senze njalo kuzakwenelisa ukuthi sonke sivumelane ukuthi izikolo kazivule mhlakabani. Okunye futhi Dube asingayenzini ngantwa into ye-COVID le eqalisizolo. Into ye-COVID le isilomnyaka ikhonapha. Kodwa abantu nje besehlule kuplan ukuthi mhla abantwana bebuyela esikolo kathi siza kwenzani. Ngenxa yokuthi abantu babhiliva yena ufejafeja. Ufejafeja Dube. Uright ukuthi izikolo kazivule mhlakabani kuphela kodwa ukuthi abantwana befunde lama results akusebenzi. We don't need a feature we need leadership.
Thank you so much and hold on there. So let's go to Mr. Chuma. Maybe I think he has heard what people are saying. People are angry, Mr. Chuma. And by the way, Chonga,
yes.
What is this government surplus that the government is talking about? So why don't they use that money for such purposes? Cross over to Mr. Chuma.
Yes, Baba Chuma. Anzina Gibbs, nyaya yemari, tunuzwa hurumende ichitaura kuti ine surplus. Ndinoziva hangu kuti hamusi muhurumende asi semunhu ari mubato riri kutonga riri muhurumende. Munogona kunge muine ruzivo pane zviri kuitika. Gibbs ari kuti tinonzwa hurumende ichitaura kuti ine surplus. Iri kudiungoisa surplus yacho kumari dziri kudiwa kueducation.
Ndo zvandanga ndichitaura izvozvo vajonga kuti zvinotangira pakutaurirana tichionesana. Surplus yaitaugwa naminister of finance yayo taiona ichishanda kune dzimwe nzvimbo. Takaona for the first time in the history of our country kuchigadzira zvinhu zvinofanana nemigwagwa madhamu echivakiwa zvese zvichibudidzira pamari yakabva kutehera handi mari yakatogwa panze yatinoti maloans kana kuti magrants kana kuti chiti imari yanga yabva within treasury ipo pa kubvira pakataka kuita tax ye 2% because you must remember kuti ka isusu sezvo tiri economy iri almost 95% informal matax anga ari mashoma anopinda asi kubvira kwakatanga nyaya ye 2% tax yaya takazotanga kuona mari ichipinda mutreasury yehurumende and tikaona migwagwa ichigadzirwa tikaona zvimwe zvinhu zvichiitika saka apa ndanga ndichitaura kuti kwanga kwasvika nguva yekuti committee ya education ina chairman nema members eparliament akasiyana zvekupai ndopavanofanwa kutanga kungeva kutanga kuloba manje aiwa ka takusvika pachinano chekuti takura kuti zvikoro zvedu zvivhugwe because apa tikutaura zvikoro zvinongo pasuko ibve dzema private idzi vari kutofambira mberi nendima havana kana problem zvachose asi kwedu uko pasuko ndokune problem ndokunobva kofanirwa panje kuti vamiriri vedu kuparliament uku vochitanga kuloba kuti aiwa tita ita veki nemari iyi masurplus aya auye kuzvikoro izvo zviya titange kugadzisa kuita kuti vanhu vari kumamisha uko navo vagone kuwanawo kubatsirwa nepundutso rinobva kumari iyoyo saka engagement yayo ndopainoda kutotangira ipo paya ande tikangozviita kudaro uchaona zvinhu zvichiita sei zvichitanga kufamba as long as we are talking ndo zvanaramanyiko taura isina pasei kuti tisaite politics awa polisi yandiri kutaura inini vajonga ndeya yokuti toti organizini inonzi achuzi yematicha kana kuti zimta kana kuchichi ikuedza kuita zvinhu zvayo takupindura isusu vesangano rezanutef imomuya takupindura isusu vesangano remdc imomuya aa hativaregei vanhu vaa vaite basa ravo vari kumirira maticha ngavaite zvavo isusu kunoku masangano edu ngatite zvedu zvepolisi emasangano edu tiisewo lobby kugavenmendi the equal way iyoyo tisina kuvhiringidza vaya vaya vari kuita zvavo. That's all I was trying to articulate.
tisamise izvozvo because most of the time unozoona kuti vana vapindigwa nevame vanhu isusu vezambia taura vapindira emdc vaura vapindira takuvaconfusa zvavanga vachimirira zvavanga vachiita zvogumisira zvichanyatsonzwika zvakanaka
but just toita
mhirizhonga imomuya
to disrupt you a bit honorable. Do you think these organizations or unions, they cannot think on their own that the government is not doing this? And if there is support from a political party, then we think they are being influenced otherwise. Because we are looking at priorities here. There are priorities. People have been complaining that the government sometimes prioritizes things that are not as urgent as education, health, and all these other stuff that they complain about.
Right. My take is very simple that as political parties, we've got our members of parliament that come from a political party. That is why we normally have chief whips of those political parties, where we can now articulate our issues as political parties to parliament and to government and stuff like that. But let us leave these unions to be independent. They are very capable of opinion on their own. They are very capable of making sound. And most of the time, they actually do that. But then we come in as political players into that sector again and then go there and spoil good things that they will have started and that they will be doing. And then we start now wanting to come in and be placing us there. And then in the meantime, we derail a good process that they will have started actually. They always start good things. They always have sound arguments. But we come in and then mess up everything for them. That is where I say that we must not jump in there. As political parties, we have got also our own forums where we can articulate our issues. As ZANU-PF, we should be able to engage government. As MDC, they must be able to engage government in their own respective sphere as political parties. But let's leave the unions, let's leave the residents' associations to do their own task as well. But collectively, when we all come back, that's why I say that all stakeholders are actually required. Yes, we need the input from MDC. We need the input from ZANU-PF. We need the input from all other stakeholders. But let's come there as stakeholders and do our part as well. And also then help to articulate those things. If as MDC, being an opposition party, they are not happy about certain things that are being done by government, they've got all the right to definitely put forward their cases and also proffer solutions. It's not only about blaming, but it's also about proffering solutions to say, no, instead of being this, like I am saying now, we should be having people coming up to say, right, the surplus that we've seen, yes, we've seen you putting money on different other projects. But now, because we are saying, let us now try and unlock this status of our children not going to school, especially those from underprivileged schools. Let's help them now. Let's have all that money going in there to make sure that PPEs are provided for, to make sure that teachers are remunerated properly. And then that way, we are beginning to now make sense, to the whole cause. And that's how it should be carried out, Donga. We should not be crisscrossing and getting into other people's path. Let them go on their own path. They are capable of thinking on their own. They are capable of articulating their own mandate as well, as per the dictates from wherever they're coming from. And once we do that, separating things like that, things are now clear. And then we now know where we're heading to as a nation. Because this issue of school children not going to school, that would affect the certain political party. It affects all of us. And at the end of the day, that is when we start crying again to say, we don't have enough enrollments at NAS from people coming from this region and stuff like that. But it's because we have missed this fundamental point where children are supposed to be taught at school now. Look at the pathway that came out now. It's so dismal. And the only way we are going to correct that is because we come in as stakeholders and be clear about it and lobby for correct things. And then that way, we are solving a problem. Because
thank you. Mm-hmm.
Those children belong to all of us across the political divide. So we need to speak with one voice as parents, as teachers' unions, as the political parties, and make sure we fix this problem.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chuma. Mr. Musarauri, I think you are hearing what Mr. Joseph Chuma is saying. So basically, he thinks that maybe you may be having a bit of a political sting on you there. Like, you know, you are into politics at times, according to the assumptions that we're making from this end. So now, how do you shed off that kind of, you know, a scenario where it's thought that you are part of a political game? And at the same time, it seems as if people would say, you are not worried about kids. You have not been attending school for such a long time. So chip in there, Mr. Masarol.
there is so much good. I think this is really articulate the national crisis where people think politics is about them seeking to be in power or them trying to preserve the hegemon preservation. But that is not the way we understood politics, some of us, when we grew up. And we still believe that it's so wrong for politicians to be thinking politics is the nature of contending just for power. So at the end of the day, what we are saying, the crisis in the education sector demands an education consensus for what the people of Zimbabwe. ZANU-PF kids are going to school and these kids are not going to school. We are not going to ban ZANU-PF people from supporting us when we declare that we need to adopt the adapt strategy which we have articulated as a union. If ZANU-PF feels that it is a working strategy, our adapt strategy is well informed from the Ramasanga Commission report of 2000, which was produced, the commission was commissioned by the President of the Republic, mm-hmm. Robert Kambonga. It is not MPC. If the MPC also feels that our adapt strategy works, we will welcome them to support us. No wonder why we are saying on the 22nd of March, if when we declare that we are taking to the streets, defending the right to education for our people and labor justice for the teachers, we are not going to accommodate only people from MPC. We are even going to accommodate people from ZANU-PF. Because when I am in the village, defending the right to education for the sons and daughters of the peasants, the majority of them are card vote members of ZANU-PF. We are not going to stop them from attending to the ZANU-PF. And no ZANU-PF leader is going to bar us from participating in the same demonstration with those people, because we believe they are citizens and what they, we stand for. We converge on social economic justice. We converge on the need to get their people, need for health care for those people. But the way forward, which I think can remain elusive, what can be done? We have zeroed on negotiations. It's important. But what we bring to the table is our simple strategy. Read the Ramasanga Commission, then read what we are saying. It's almost the same. We borrow from there. We say, hey, on our adapt, we are saying, let's adequately fund education. Mm-hmm. The sub-Saharan, our sub-Saharan average of funding on education is around 16% or so. But under the austerity measures of Mutulimule, the education sector has consistently received less than 13% from the day you assume office. This is way below the over 10% from the Dakar Declaration on funding on education. This is so basic. And the majority of the funds that are channeled towards education, they are going to wages. So we don't have anything left for capital investment. No wonder why we have learners standing under trees. We have a shortage of almost 3,000 schools. We are not thinking long term. Then secondly, we are saying let's devolve and democratize education management. We don't want one permanent secretary in Harare just waking up and declaring dates that schools will open on this particular date. We want communities to run their schools. The moment the school communities run their own schools, they will also be able, or this is only can work also when national funds are also devolved. That the community level, people are able to use their own resources to fund their education, and at the end of the day, make their own decision. At the end of the day, even the curriculum planning itself it can also be devolved because there's a condition in education in every community, which yes. because we are a variegated republic. We should not assume that we need everyone to be able to grow tobacco when we know that in Matabele South, they want to know livestock production. So we need to be, then also democratize. We don't want to see cash getting members of ZANU-PF only becoming headmasters, only becoming provincial education directors. Let's democratize it and open it up. Let it be based on merit, and then we get everyone for participating in our education.
Thank you so much, Mr. Masaraure. Before you go, I just wanted to throw a question there, Mr. Masaraure. There are some who accuse your association of opposing anything that the government comes up with. You don't even want to engage the government, you just oppose. What's your take on that?
I think that's a big lie. Mm-hmm. We were the first people to welcome government when it announced that they were getting 600 million. Of course, we said it was inadequate, but we said government has done it, did something. But unfortunately, the 600 million disappeared. We can't even see where it went. We were told they were going to do balls, but we can't even see the balls and everything. We were the first people to welcome the government's move when they said they wanted to do a vaccination program for teachers. It was, I got a call from some journalists who were told that we are next vaccination. And I said, no, vaccination for all willing adults is welcome. It's a welcome move to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. We welcome progressive moves from government, but we are dealing with a government that operates with the use of fear. Only, of course, they use the traditional kerosene stick, where the majority of us only get the stick and then their sweethearts will get the carrots. They get give them gold, they give them possessions in executive board, visit NASA and other places. Their villas with projects, they look at us and they see enemies. We look at them and we see a government. And we want them to look at us as citizens. We can freely choose to support political parties of faith with as individuals. And even as a movement, it's a when you choose to say during an electoral process, we want to vote this particular party because if this party can advance the interests of education better than this particular party, we still have a right, and no one should be coming in and sharing these stupid ideas that the teachers cease to have political rights because they are workers. They should not be living in a silo because we chose to be civil servants. We are citizens before anything. But at the end of the day, we want this government to work because it is everything that we have at the moment. It is our government. And we will take them to task until they deliver for the people of Zimbabwe. Because they made promises, including a declaration that there will be free education. In 2018, they said that. Where is the free education when the majority of foreigners can't access education? 3.4 million of children are declared to be very vulnerable. And these are mostly school going kids. And we expect them to pay tuition fees. We have the right because we depend proper education to be taking this government to task.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Masaraure. Let's go to Mr. Roderick Fayayo. So in conclusion here, Mr. Fayayo, there is a suggestion from Mr. Opet Masaraure that communities can actually run their own schools. This school of thought appears to be, you know, something that people are talking about, even on social media. So what's your take on that?
Thank you, Keeps. But before I respond to that, I have two things that I want to say. The first thing is that when you deal with issues of surplus, this is when we see the truth that lies in short legs, especially a situation where we have a surplus. We say to everybody that we have a surplus, and yet we can't even buy PPEs for our kids or for our nurses. We say we have a surplus, and yet up to now, we're still waiting for donations in terms of vaccines. That's when you begin to see that indeed lies in very short legs. And also, secondly, we need to understand the role of an opposition political party. The role of an opposition political party is not to clap hands for the government. It is not. It is to look at opportunities. Opportunities from mistakes that are created by the government. And that is where they will engage. So, like what Opet is saying, you cannot therefore then stop the MTC from coming up and saying the government has failed to handle the education crisis. It is expected that as an opposition they will do that. And it is also expected that the government, because the MTC has done that, will put up their socks. So we need to be able to do that. Mm. And thirdly, we also need to understand that there is nothing wrong with civil society associating with political parties. There is nothing wrong. If you look at South Africa, the COSATU is a member of the ANC. But it does not mean that they agree with everything that the ANC does. They are actually using their closeness to the ANC to leverage, to get a lot of things from for the workers. And they actually, there are times when they have come out to defend or to attack even the ANC. And I don't think that there is any problem with that. So I don't think we should, it is used, it is being used by people who don't want to listen. And my thinking is that as a government, like what Mr. Chuma said, the government should be able to listen to anybody, whether they support the MTC or whether they support ZAN or any other program, or even when they don't even support MTC, yes. It is the duty of the government, yes, to listen.
And then run the schools.
I know the time is running out. I wanted to throw a question
One second, Chonga. My
thinking is that what Opet is saying actually falls in line with the devolution. More than 70% of Zimbabweans voted for devolution because they knew that they wanted to run their affairs. And a proper government should, one, follow the constitution, two, follow the will of the people. Very simple.
Thank you so much, Chonga.
Now, I wanted to ask Mr. Fire his take on private schools demanding their own school calendar.
At a glance, Jonga, it looks as if they are being abnormal. But look, I also want to tell you that on this one, I am very conflicted because my kids go to a private school. But I want to say, The reason why private schools are raising these issues is because when the year began, it is the government that encouraged everybody to do online lessons. The private school kids have been learning since January. So what it simply means right now with this new calendar is that the private school kids are going to have been to be learning from January to June. And I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it does anything to uplift the education of the guys from the public schools. My thinking is that it is not about what the private schools are saying. It is about the government failing to do its duties. So we should not allow ourselves to be divided to say there are private schools and public schools. The government of Zimbabwe has a duty to make sure that the education system works and it is fair, and therefore blame private schools. Then therefore go on to punish the students from the private schools. My thinking is that it makes sense. Let them go on and do what they are proposing. But also the government should make up a plan to ensure that kids from the public schools go on and keep up with those kids.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fire. Mr. Chuma, the last question.
Thank you very much. I think all these arguments boil down to the simple common denominator of saying that engagement. It's never too late to engage. Let us engage from all the stakeholders' point of views, from different stakeholders' point of views. Everybody has got a right to definitely voice out, and there's nothing wrong with pointing out the mistakes that are being committed by government, because a government, like I said, is no monopoly of ideas. Therefore, it needs all of us as Zimbabweans to always guided to always oversee its work, because after all they represent us and they must do things for us in a proper manner. So definitely what I can take from all this is that what we are lacking or what we are not doing properly is engage each other from whatever point of view we come from. But at the end of the day, let us try and just engage. Let's allow people to engage from your own sphere, from your own corner, without really jumping into someone else's sphere or corner, because your corner is also important and it needs to be represented. Whether you're a political party, whether you're a church organization, whether you're a resident association, we all need that input. And so once we start doing that, from that kind of perspective, we'll begin to now zero in to the problems that we are facing. Public schools definitely need to be supported, and government needs to definitely play its role. We also need to play our role. Our roles as parents, as different stakeholders, and at the end of the day, sync the private schools and the public schools. Because, like what Mr. Fire is saying, yes, private schools have been learning from January, and it would be very unfair to say that they must continue until June, like these other public schools are being deemed to do. So it's all about listening. Government must listen to the private schools and hear their reason, and if needs be, adjust to that. Then maybe when things normalize later on, we can now then synchronize our calendars and get back to be the same calendars.
But
it's all about listening to each other. That's what is important, and that's what will grow a nation.
Thank you so much. I think we've come to the end of the show. We wish to thank our guests, Ms. Melissa Chingwanangwana of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Joseph Chuma of ZANU-PF. He's a central committee member of the ruling party and is a former member of parliament from Popoma. Then with Mr. Roderick Fayayo, who is a board member of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association, and Mr. Opet Masala Hure, who is the president of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Signing off from Maryland, this is Kip Tube saying good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, hoping to meet you again in our next programs.
Bye-bye.